Thank you, my good brother Plika, and we thank the Lord for your faithful ministry, you and your wife, here in our church. You do well if you keep your Bible open to Isaiah chapter 26. It's going to be our text, verse 3 is going to be our text for today. I just want to say that tonight, Brother Avila was here about 3 years and 6 months ago. He went to organize and distribute the efforts of the churches in Costa Rica. I spent time in Costa Rica on the Pacific Ocean. He's on the Atlantic Ocean, about 2 hours in a small fly from one place to the other. And he has been an instrument even in Cuba. He has said to me in an email that he even saw books of mine in Cuba, and I'm surprised that they allowed to be there on the churches, books that Family Radio allowed me to write and to place. And so it will be a pleasure if you are able to come tonight just for an encouragement to our missionary. It's very, very important. During this month of August, we are here to study life lessons from Isaiah. There is an easy way to follow the sermon. There is an outline inside the bulletin. And in the outline, allow me to explain to you, there is the reference, and then between parentheses, there are numbers. And those numbers are the page number in that correspond to our pew Bible. So you don't have to guess where is the book until you become familiar with them. I have another two or three emails, and even one from England, they appreciated that, because if you are not familiar with the Bible, then you become familiar by going over and over again. I want to tell you this. It's the Bible that produces faith. It's not my words. It's not my teaching. I try to do it as simple as possible so that you understand it, as we learn in Sunday school today, the importance to understand the Word of God. But the Word of God is produces faith. And I want you to see it. So our first lesson from Isaiah was a changing, a life-changing encounter. It was last Sunday on Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah becomes the lawyer of the king, and he becomes one of the most magnificent persons in the kingdom of Israel. He's truthful to God. He tells the world like it is. And then God, in his mercy, showed to him who God really is. Imagine that you are driving the freeway and suddenly in front of you, God stands. He was working in his office and God stands with all the glory of heaven. No wonder he said in verse 6, I'm undone. And until we come to that point in our life, when we humble before God, we do not prosper. Now Isaiah goes a little farther. And in chapter 26 and in verse 3, he is going to present the solution to the question, can I have peace with God? Can I have peace with God? So in order to understand that, I bring to you three thoughts. First, the challenge of peace. It is a challenge. Then, the conditions of peace that the Bible established. And of course, the results that comes to your life when we are at peace with God. So let's face each one of these and slowly work our way in the Bible. The challenge of peace. There is a personal challenge. If you move your Bible to Romans, chapter 12, page 1235, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 18, here is a text. There is a personal challenge. I will say this. It's a personal challenge in your personal life, and your social life, and your family life. Look at verse 18. I'm reading from the King James Version in my Bible during the sermon. You use the Bible that you can read and understand, but allow me to use this Bible that I feel secure on it. Here is what it is. Verse 18, if it be possible. So sometimes it is not possible, is that right? If it be possible, as much as lie in your wife or in your husband, no, as much as lie in you, lead peacefully with all men. The challenge, personal challenge. We have the challenge from God. It is an obligation to live at peace. Husband with wife, in your work life, in your school life. And I understand, because I'm a human being like you, that there are some people that are very difficult to understand and very difficult to have peace with them. Looks like they never understand anything you said to them. But the Bible said, if it's possible for you to have peace with those people, you need to exercise human peace. What a challenge, no? Have you ever thought about it? It is a challenge. All right, I tried this one time driving in 680. I crossed a guy right on his front of the car. And the guy passed me and started doing like this. So I told him like this. So we stopped on the side. And the guy came in. When he saw my side, he cooled off a little bit. But I said, sir, you were reading driving. And you can cause an accident. And I want to, before the police give you a ticket, I want to tell you, you have to watch yourself out. Well, you don't know the problems I'm on. Oh, I know. So you know, well, I have problems. We all have problems. And we talk a lot and we laugh about it. But, you know, how do you have peace with somebody who gets really belligerent against you? The Bible says, if it's possible, you need to have peace with people. One time an officer stopped me in 680. I never drive anymore in 680. And he said, you know the speed you were doing, Pastor Otero? I said, what? I said, Dr. Otero, that was a highest speed of 95. Really? I said, yeah, really, he said. And your sermon last Sunday, I said, Lord, I said, give me the ticket. Don't talk about it. You mentioned the scripture, you know. And I had to listen. No, no, sit down in the car. You listen to me. He was a believer. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to write an admonition rather than a ticket. I said, you already did it. Well, I cannot write that because the state did not recognize the Bible. But you know what I'm talking about, you know. I was at peace with the officer, all right? At peace with the officer. Do you have peace with your wife, with your husband, with your children? Sometimes it's very difficult. If it's possible, we need to be at peace. So it's a personal challenge, peace. It's a divine challenge. You are in Romans 12. Go with me to Romans 15 and verse 33. Romans 15, verse 33, the last verse of the chapter 15. When Paul is going to close what he has to say theologically, chapter 16 is just greetings, but he closed really the book of Romans on 15. He said, now the God of peace be with you all. The God of peace, said the original, in you all. No B, there is no B in the original. The God of peace in you all. Wow, what a challenge. You need to have the peace of God that overpasses all understanding. The coolness of heart. The love and compassion of the heart. The smiling and the real care of your heart. Now the God of peace be in you all. That's a divine challenge. It's not just a peace of your culture. It's not just a peace of your region where you live. Is the peace of the divine God inside you so that when you develop your life morning after morning, you exhibit that peace in the world. And then the Bible talks about in Romans 3 about inward peace. Look at here, the inward challenge of peace. Romans chapter 3 is a remarkable mirror to all of us. When you want to know who you are, you just read Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading verse 10. And Paul said, as it is written, so he's using the Old Testament as a reference, there is no righteous, no one, he says. There is none that understand that there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out the other way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. So there is no one human being from the beginning of creation, from Adam until the moment the apostle is writing, that is good. Look at verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, you know, the viper, all right, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. See, the inward challenge, people are born without that peace of God. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Amazing, don't we? Amazing. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law said is said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that the world may become guilty before God. And look at verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's an inward challenge that as we are born in our natural estate, as biologically we develop our life, our life without the touch of God is a life, a sinful life. The tendencies of our life are never good. Left alone to ourselves, the psychology of man, the biology of man, the physiology of man do not have anything good on it unless God touch it and change it. Now that's the diagnosis of the Word of God. When you go to your doctor, remember I mentioned to you, the doctor has in his office a PDR, a patient desk reference. And he listened to you, he checked you, and he has any doubt in his mind, he said, well, just a minute, I'll be back. He goes to his office and he opened his patient desk reference and he looked into what he saw and he see what medicines he can give you and he looked into your records and see how you react to certain medicines and so on. Well, here is our PDR. Here is our patient desk reference. And my patient desk reference tells me that if I remain in my human condition without the touch of God, I am an unpeaceful person because there is nothing good that I brought from birth to this world. Is that insulting? Somebody told me. Maybe so. But that's what the book said. The book said that as I'm born, those babies develop their life and there is sin. Well, a baby, if you don't feed it in the right time, cries. You say, well, it cries of anger. When he was in the womb, he eats anytime he wants to. But now he's outside and says, oh, boy, the thing changed. They don't feed me. So I cry. And I do it. The challenge of life. There is a personal challenge. The Bible said, in reference to you believers, you need to be at peace with everybody if it's possible. That if it's possible means you don't have to compromise God's word. That's what is the only if possible. And then divine challenge. You need to have not the peace. This man is peaceful. The other man is peaceful. This philosopher wrote those things who are peaceful. You need to have the peace of God right into your life. Right into your right side of your brain. Well, what can I do about it? Well, let's go to Isaiah. He tell us in verse 3. Isaiah will reason with us and will tell us in Isaiah chapter 26. And in verse 3, he will tell us how to really encounter ourselves and grab that peace into our life. First, you focus in God. Look at verse 3. thou will keep him, Isaiah 26:3, in perfect peace, whose mind, my King James says, stay on thee. The word mind can be the thoughts, a structure of your life, focus on you. The word in the original is not the mind, the cerebrum, no. It is a word, the thought structure of your life. Your thoughts, said the scripture, need to focus, stay is the word, to focus in God. That is the first step in order to find peace. It is no compromise. It is that you need to throw away anything you know. You need to put aside any philosophy, anything that you have learned from childhood, and now you focus your mind in God. Every thought you have is on God. You put your target, those who love to shoot, you put your target back, front, control, shot, in God, in God. Well, where is God? All right. It's not in the paper, but you go to second. Put one hand in Isaiah and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know this, but I like to do it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Look at what the scripture said. All scripture is given. And the King James says inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, is no inspiration, is the breath of God, the breath of God. And it's profitable for doctrine and so on. So you find God in the scripture. You can't avoid it. I have some in the area here, the Arabs want to, you know, next town, they want to build the big mesquites and so on. And I'm talking to those who are the leaders. And I told them, the great difference is not Allah, because Allah and Elohim are the same. Esau never worshiped any other god than Allah. The only thing he disobeyed, that's all. I said, so you got the wrong name on it. You better put another name, no Allah. And then secondly, God wrote only this book, not your Torah. This book, this is God's breath. We have Bible reading here on Wednesday, and when Brother Wayne was reading, he before he started the reading, he said, I'm going to breathe you God. And it's true. When you read the Word of God, you breathe God into. You know that our Bible reading on Wednesday night is one of the most listening programs ever we have, because finally people in their home, they are saying, oh, wow, we can listen to the Word of God. They forgot to read it themselves. Imagine if they tell you, well, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, right in the San Jose Theater will be God visiting us. Oh, it will be packed. Doesn't matter how much cost to get in. Well, you don't have to pay anything. We give it, the Bible, to you free. Here is what it is. And so the condition is you focus in God. You will never go anywhere if you compare God with this, compare God with the other, or compare God with your own thoughts. You need to surrender your brain to God. This is what God said. This is what God said. All right? So conditions to get the peace of God. I focus in God first. Secondly, I trust God. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And not only I focus on God and I research him and I study him and I listen to him and I understand him, but in verse 3 of Isaiah 26 says, thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind, whose thoughts is focused on thee, because he trusted in thee. Because he trusted in thee. You trust God. You trust God. Amazing. You trust God. You're blind. God said, they're subtle. God said, Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means sacrificially. And so husbands, we have no other choice than to love our wife, even if she do not cook the enchiladas well. You have to do it. You have to do it. And then the Bible said, the wife, in Titus chapter 2, said, the elderly women should train the young women to love their husband. So when you, mother, love your husband, not only you're doing what God said, you are teaching your children to do as well. And that's important. And so this is what you trust God. Oh, you don't know my husband and so on. Doesn't matter. Doesn't nothing have to do with the other person. Your choice of marriage is this person. You love that person until death do us depart. That's how serious is marriage. Peter said it was so serious. If I knew that, remember? In Matthew 19, Peter said, if I knew that, I would never get married. Said Peter. So he was not ready to love that way. But this is the way it is. This is the way. And so when you trust God, you said you live at peace. You say, well, I maybe made a mistake, but God said, I trust God, and God will give you the satisfaction to live at peace, even in a tough environment. How precious it is. You trust God. The Bible said, train up your children in the word. And when they grow older, remember in Proverbs 22:6, and when grow older, will not depart. And you train your children, and when they are 20, 25, 30, you see them waving away. Don't panic. What did God said? You trained them in the word of God? When they grow older, will not depart. See, you trust God, believe in what God said. Don't put time to God's promises or to God's statements. You just believe it. So in order to have peace, you focus on God. And you trust him completely. Then you meditate in his word. Go back to Psalm 119, you know, that long psalm, Psalm 119. And look with me in verse 165, almost at the end, you know, it's one, that psalm has 176 verses. All right? Try to learn it by heart if you can. 165. And look at what the Bible says. Say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. I'm going to say it again. I know I'm emphatic in this, but without the word of God, there is no way you can have peace. Peace in your home, peace in your work, peace anywhere. Without the word of God, you will not have that peace. Great peace have them that love the word of God. See, we all have tribulations. But when we trust the word of God, he gives you patience. Patience is not something you learn in a psychiatric conference. No, patience, you learn it as you go through tough times in your life. God gives you then the wisdom to figure out for the next time will be different. And that's what it is. It is tough. And you deal with situations who are tremendously difficult sometimes. And you deal with people that do not understand you. But great peace have those which love thy law. That's it. And if you love the word of God, that means you're going to do what God said. All right? So the condition, you focus on God, the God of the Bible. Then you trust the God of the Bible. And then you look for the information from the Bible. Don't look information in any other book because it's wrong. It is wrong. People say, you are biased. Yes, sir. Christianity is biased. You don't love everybody, told me this Arab. Neither you. Who knows how many weapons you hide under the floor when you build that? I don't have weapons. The only weapon I have is Bible everywhere. But who knows, you Arabs, how many guns will have? They smile to me, but that's what it is. Now, listen carefully. There is no way around. You destroy yourself if you don't trust the Word of God in your life. And I'm going to tell you this. Naturally, we never trust the Word of God. They have to be the gift of the Spirit that will touch you. As you read the Bible, Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. You keep on reading. People say, I don't understand it. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. Where do I start reading the Bible? Genesis. Oh, no. Yeah, it's difficult. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bereshit, bara, Elohim, et Hana. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You believe that? People told me the other day, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe verse 1. You don't want to believe anything else. See, that's why the devil wants to take Genesis out of the Bible. All right. The results of having peace with God. Well, if I have peace with God, I have a spiritual peace. I need to go to the New Testament now, to the book of Ephesians, please. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, and in verse 14, the Bible tells me that I will have a tremendous inward peace, a spiritual peace, if I have peace with God. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 14, that's when Paul explained, now there is no more Judaism. Paul the Jew said, there is no more Judaism. There is only one people of God. We're all sons of Abraham. Now, if you're a Gentile, you are offended, too bad. We are all sons of Abraham. Here is what verse 14 said. For he, talking about Jesus, is our peace, who have made both one, Jews and Gentiles, one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no longer, remember the tabernacle? I can be on the court. I can be in the holy, and I can be in the holy, holy place. Because Christ is at the right hand of the Father, say Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, interceding for me. It's just remarkable. A spiritual peace. Now I'm okay with God. I don't need to be in the court, and then a priest, a human priest, will come in and say, what is your offering? And I take his offering, and I put it on the altar, and then he sprinkled his blood on me, and then he sent me home justified. Now I'm in the court. I'm in the holy place, and Jesus said, come in. Talk over the mercy seat. I'm your Savior. Remarkable. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, we are one before this God of Israel. It's just a remarkable thing. A spiritual peace. A lot of people said to me, well, Pastor, I'm a Roman Catholic. Pastor, I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a Methodist. And you turn on the televisions and DirecTV, and from channel 369 all the way to 478, you have a variation, numbers of denominations on the screen over there. But, you know, a spiritual peace doesn't come by a denomination, comes by God the Father, putting into your heart the knowledge that Jesus died for your sin. He is your intercessor. He is the mercy seat that Israel seek with passion to be forgiven once a year. Jesus Christ is the one that when you trust in his work to clean your sin, you become a new creature in him. That's what it is. It is not your business. It is not your nationality. It is not your culture. No. No at all. It is Christ. Legal peace. The gospel is a legal book. You go to Romans chapter 5 in verse 1. It is a legal peace. See, God has declared you guilty before him. God has declared you guilty before him. You need to be clear up in the courts of heaven. And there are two options. Either you go to court now, or you go to court after death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and thereafter the judgment, said the scripture. Or you can go now. Who will be my lawyer? 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 said that Jesus is our lawyer. But now look in Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified. See, that's a legal word, justify. It's not a medical word. It's a legal word. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have been justified not for what I do. We have been justified not for my contribution to the church, not for things that I will do, good works, so that I can be justified before God, not by my donations to the church. I'm justified, said the scripture. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through that cross of Calvary. You cannot avoid Jesus Christ. There will be no peace with God if Christ was not in the middle. So legal peace. I'm no longer, God hold me guilty if I have trust in for my spiritual life that Christ has paid for my sinful nature. Thirdly, religious peace. You remember the book of Leviticus, right at the beginning of your Bible? Many people do not read this book. They avoid it. They said, oh, you read it, you sleep. No, if you read the book of Leviticus, you have the constitution of Israel. If a man cheats his wife, he's dead. If a man kills a woman who is pregnant, he's dead because he's guilty of two deaths. And you know the United States courts hold that? That if you drive your car and accidentally kill a woman who is pregnant, you kill two people? Nevertheless, they said, no, what you have in your womb is not a baby. What is it? An elephant? But if you go to court and you damage somebody, you are guilty of two people. They took it from Leviticus. So read it in your home Leviticus. You have to read it about 300 times in order to understand it, but it's good. Chapter 6, please, in verse 6 and 7. Now, religious peace. How did Israel have religious peace with God? Look at here. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for the trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Atonement means cover. The word atonement means to cover. All right? And the priest will cover you before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So in the times of Israel, I bring my offering. The priest take that offering, slain the lamb, and sprinkle the blood. And my sins will be covered for 1 year. Next year, I have to do the same. What about today? Well, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 29. Look at what Jesus said. The Bible said the next day, John was Jesus' cousin, 6 months older than him. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, he did not say, oh, cousin, how are you? What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, doesn't say atonement anymore, who take away the sin of the world. Now, see, in the Old Testament, your sins were covered. And next year, your sins are up again. You got to go to the temple and ask for forgiveness. In the New Testament, the real Lamb has come, and he has taken your sins completely away. You don't have to ask God forgiveness any longer. Why? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 7. There the Bible explains you why. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Look at what the Bible said. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lamp, as ye were unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ took the place of that Hebrew Old Testament Jewish lamb, and now he is done. Well, Pastor, could be the another Christ. Somebody told me. I listened to people when they talked to me. They said, could be the another Christ need to come and do as well? Well, let's find out. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. See, it's right here in the book. You don't have to guess. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible said. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once for all. In the Roman Catholic Church, when they do the Lord's Supper, they give you the bread. And they said, Christ. I told the priest, no, this is not Christ. This is a symbol of Christ. No, this is Christ. No, he was sacrificed 2,000 years ago. Once for all. Once for all. There is no more facts about doing something to be justified. It's done. Our justification has been complete. So the only thing I need to do is accept that offer of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a natural state, nobody will accept it. You know that? In a natural state, we are born with a seed of Satan to hate what God said. But if you keep reading the Bible, and you keep reading the Bible, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Some of you will read the Bible 30 years. I know a man who read the Bible 45 years, and at the age of 87, he came to me and said, "Sir, today, oh, if my mother was alive, today, I believe," he said. See, it is here. And when you believe, Jesus' words were to the disciples in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Jesus said, "I'm going. I'm leaving you." Can you imagine? No, 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 no. We want you. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14, 27. You see that? The only way that you and I will have self-control and peace until the Lord take me to heaven is by having the peace of God in my life. And there's no peace about your wife, and there's no peace about your husband, there's no peace about your children. It's peace with God. It's peace with God. You need to, you know, is God real for you? Can you do things and nobody see it? And you have no conscience that God is seeing? Peace with God is what you need. Once you have peace with God, you have peace with everything. Peace with God comes through the Lord Jesus. So please, humble yourself and say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins." Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of having Jesus in our life. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity, for the great opportunity to have peace with you. Oh, the people in the world, they sign papers of peace, but you sign that paper with the blood of Christ in Calvary Cross. I spent many years of my life, Lord, rejecting any idea of peace with you until the Holy Spirit convicted me through the reading of your word. And so, Father, I pray that perhaps someone here, someone listening in the gray stadium of the airways may today have peace with you. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
God, wherever I may be. sheep, and through the gloom he led me home. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountain bleak,
Will you stand, please, for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.